Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Wednesday, September 9th. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and fact-checked against authoritative reporting available as of early this morning. We begin in Miami, where federal investigators are examining the final seconds before a cargo plane crash that killed 5 people. Flight data released Tuesday suggests the Amazon cargo jet tried to abort an unstable landing at Miami International Airport before it ran off the runway. The aircraft crossed airport property, struck a van carrying a cleaning crew, went through a fence, and hit an SUV on a city street. The National Transportation Safety Board says it is reviewing the flight data recorder, cockpit recordings, the approach, and the aircraft's maintenance history. Investigators have not determined a cause. The 5 people who died were in the van. The disaster has renewed attention on the risks beyond an airport perimeter when a large aircraft leaves the runway. For now, the central fact is also the simplest. This remains an active safety investigation, and the NTSB has cautioned against drawing conclusions before its work is complete. A runway overrun can involve decisions in the cockpit, runway conditions, the approach profile, aircraft performance, and airport safeguards. Investigators will have to establish the sequence rather than assume it from the aircraft's final path. That is why recorder information and maintenance records matter. They can help distinguish what happened from why it happened. In New York, the city has released more than 170,000 pages of records concerning its response to the September 11th attacks and their aftermath. Mayor Zoran Mamdani's administration says the publication also settles 2 long-running lawsuits brought by the advocacy group 9/11 Health Watch. The initial archive includes internal correspondence, contamination records, and air quality material related to Lower Manhattan. News reports based on the documents say they indicate that officials had information pointing to unsafe conditions near Ground Zero, even as public assurances were being made. The city says additional releases will follow. The records are arriving days before the 25th anniversary of the attacks. They matter to first responders, residents, workers, and families still dealing with health consequences. The release itself does not decide legal responsibility for any individual claim. It does give the public and researchers a far larger record with which to assess what officials knew, when they knew it, and how the government responded. The city says the new portal is intended to make records available as further material is reviewed and personal information is redacted. It also says it will assign personnel to help people seeking records that may support applications to federal health and compensation programs. For people who were present in the exposure zone, documentation can be important long after the immediate emergency has passed. A fast-moving election case in Missouri is adding uncertainty less than 2 months before the general election. The U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday declined Missouri Republicans' emergency request to use a newly drawn congressional map in November. That leaves in place a Missouri Supreme Court ruling directing the state to use its prior post-census districts while voters decide a referendum concerning the newer map. The new districts had support from President Trump and were expected to improve Republican chances in at least one House race. State officials and lower courts have continued to wrestle with practical questions about ballots and election administration. The broader point is that the order was not a final ruling on every redistricting argument. It was a decision not to disturb the Missouri court's action at this stage. But with ballots and deadlines approaching, the dispute illustrates how election maps can become consequential well before a single vote is counted. District boundaries determine which voters are grouped together for House elections. Changing them close to an election can affect candidate filings, ballot preparation, and what information election officials provide to voters. The court action, therefore, has practical consequences now, even though the underlying legal and referendum questions remain unresolved. In federal court in New York, jury selection has begun in the criminal racketeering trial of Huawei Technologies. Prosecutors accuse the Chinese telecommunications company and some of its subsidiaries of stealing trade secrets, committing wire and bank fraud, and violating sanctions-related laws. The government alleges that Huawei did business in North Korea despite U.S. sanctions and that equipment was used in connection with Iranian surveillance of protesters. Those are allegations, not findings. Huawei denies wrongdoing and says the government's account is demonstrably false. Its lawyers have argued that the case is vague and improperly extends American law abroad. The trial is closely watched because Huawei is a major global supplier of telecommunications equipment and has long been at the center of U.S. security concerns. The company is barred from selling its gear to American carriers, and several allied governments have imposed their own restrictions. Opening statements were expected as early as today. The distinction between the indictment and a verdict is important. Prosecutors must prove their case in court, and Huawei has the opportunity to challenge the evidence and the legal theories behind the charges. Still, the proceeding places years of American allegations about the company's business practices before a jury in a formal criminal trial. Washington is also preparing for a leadership change at the Smithsonian. Secretary Lonnie G. Bunch III announced that he will retire later this year, ending nearly 38 years of service to the institution. Bunch became the Smithsonian's 14th secretary in 2019 after serving as founding director of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. His tenure at the top of the institution has included expansion, fundraising, and difficult public arguments about how American history is presented in federal museums. The Smithsonian's Board of Regents will choose his successor. The transition comes at a sensitive moment because the White House has pressed cultural institutions, including the Smithsonian, to revisit exhibitions and interpretations of history. Bunch said he is moving to a next chapter while continuing to champion a full account of the nation's story. The Smithsonian is both a museum system and a major research institution. Its secretary oversees a network that reaches millions of visitors and shapes how collections, scholarship, and public programming are presented. That makes the selection of Bunch's successor significant beyond the institution's day-to-day management. President Trump yesterday joined an event on the Ellipse honoring victims of the September 11th attacks. The ceremony, organized with the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, featured a large steel beam recovered from the South Tower of the World Trade Center. The beam is part of a cross-country memorial tour and is scheduled to travel through New York later this week, retracing the route of firefighter Stephen Siller. The president said the country would never forget those killed in the attacks. The anniversary will bring observances at the Pentagon in New York and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It is a moment of national remembrance, but also one of continuing concern for survivors and first responders whose lives were changed long after the attacks themselves. And one energy decision worth watching. The Energy Department has announced a conditional loan of up to $1.9 billion to help restart Iowa's Duane Arnold nuclear power plant. The plant closed in 2020. The administration says a restart could add carbon-free generation as electricity demand rises, particularly from data centers. Google has said it plans to buy power from the facility for data center operations. Supporters say existing nuclear plants can provide dependable electricity without the emissions associated with fossil fuels. Critics say a restart requires rigorous proof that an aging plant can be returned safely to service. The loan does not make the project automatic. It is another sign, though, that meeting the country's growing power demand is pushing policymakers and technology companies toward a broader mix of generation, including nuclear plants that once appeared unlikely to reopen. Restarting an existing plant is different from building a new reactor. It may use an established site and transmission connections, but it still requires extensive technical work and regulatory review. The proposal reflects a broader search for electricity that can be delivered steadily as power demand grows. Overseas, the most immediate international development is the renewed exchange between the United States and Iran. U.S. Central Command says American forces destroyed 5 Iranian crude oil tankers Tuesday after what it described as 2 Iranian ballistic missile attacks on a U.S. warship over the preceding 2 days. Central Command said crews were told to abandon the vessels before the strikes. Iran then said it had launched missiles toward U.S. targets in Jordan. American officials did not immediately confirm damage or casualties there. This is the latest escalation in a conflict that has now lasted more than 6 months. The military stakes are serious, so are the economic consequences. Both sides are competing for leverage near the Strait of Hormuz, a passage through which roughly 1/5 of the world's oil moved before the war. Brent crude briefly approached $100 a barrel Tuesday. That price pressure reaches Americans through gasoline, diesel, airline tickets, freight, and the cost of moving goods. The competing claims in this conflict can change quickly, and early reports do not always provide a complete picture of damage or casualties. What is clear from the American command statement is the scale of the reported action, strikes on 5 tankers after reported attacks on a U.S. warship. The risk is that each exchange creates pressure for another response. In Ukraine, Russian drone and missile strikes on Kyiv ended a brief lull that coincided with visits by U.S. envoys. Local authorities reported at least 2 people killed and at least 10 injured in the capital, with homes and other buildings damaged. President Volodymyr Zelensky said the visiting American envoys presented what he called worthwhile ideas for ending the war and said he hopes to meet President Trump within 2 weeks. Russia said it struck Ukrainian military industry facilities. Moscow and Kyiv remain far apart on the core issues of territory and security. The return of major strikes after a pause is a reminder of the distance between diplomatic contact and an actual ceasefire. It also matters directly to U.S. listeners because Washington remains central to Ukraine's defense, diplomacy, and long-term security arrangements. A pause in attacks can create room for talks, but it is not the same as an agreement or a durable reduction in fighting. Civilian damage in Kyiv underscores how the war continues to shape decisions on the ground while diplomats discuss possible paths forward. Now to the economy and markets. Tuesday was the most recent completed U.S. trading session because markets were closed Monday for Labor Day. These are final closes, not futures or intraday figures. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 628.18 points, or 1.2%, to close at 52,786.07. The S&P 500 fell 45.08 points, or 0.6%, ending at 7,673.52. The Nasdaq Composite lost 85.58 points, or 0.3%, to close at 26,421.41. Stocks fell as higher oil prices sharpened worries about inflation and complicated the outlook for the Federal Reserve. The sell-off was especially sharp in the Dow, while the technology-heavy Nasdaq held up somewhat better. The market is now looking toward fresh inflation reports before the Fed's meeting next week. The consequential business story behind those numbers is energy. Higher oil does not simply affect drivers at the pump. Diesel costs influence trucking, construction, farming, and deliveries. Jet fuel affects airlines. Manufacturers pay more to ship components and finished goods. That can extend an overseas conflict into the domestic inflation picture. Investors are weighing that risk against a labor market that has remained resilient. The difficult question for the Fed is whether inflation pressure from energy will fade or become embedded in broader prices. The answer will shape expectations for interest rates, mortgages, credit cards, business borrowing, and the value of stocks and bonds. Tuesday's close captured that uncertainty rather than a settled view of where the economy is heading. Market indexes summarize thousands of individual trades, so a down day does not by itself establish a trend. But the different moves in the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq show how investors were adjusting to the same concern across different kinds of companies. The next inflation data will be closely watched for signs of whether energy is feeding into a broader rise in prices. In sports, college football's new Associated Press poll has Ohio State still at number one, entering Saturday's major matchup with fourth-ranked Texas. The Buckeyes received 46 of the 69 first-place votes. Georgia moved to second, Notre Dame third, Texas fourth, and defending national champion Indiana fifth. Oregon slipped from second to sixth after a close win over Boise State, while LSU climbed into the top 10 after its opening victory over Clemson. Miami, LSU, Mississippi, and Texas A&M completed the top 10. The poll matters most as a snapshot, not a playoff verdict. September rankings can change quickly, especially with Ohio State and Texas meeting this weekend. But the early list has already concentrated attention on the Big Ten and SEC contenders that may shape the playoff race. In Major League Baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers won their sixth straight game, beating the Cincinnati Reds 3-2. Tarik Skubal pitched into the eighth inning, and Teoscar Hernandez drove in the go-ahead run with a fifth-inning single. Will Smith homered for Los Angeles, while Eli De La Cruz hit a two-run home run for Cincinnati. Tanner Scott closed it by getting the final ground out. The result kept the Dodgers on 88 wins and reinforced their position atop the National League West. September baseball is about both standings and health. A winning streak can improve a club's seeding and confidence, but teams are also managing pitchers and everyday players for October. Los Angeles has the talent to make another deep run. The question over the final weeks is whether it can carry that form into the postseason. A quick results roundup from Tuesday at the U.S. Open. Top-seeded Aryna Sabalenka advanced after a three-set quarterfinal win over Linda Noskova, 7-6, 3-6, 7-6. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Rockies 5-3. The Rays defeated the Braves 7-1, the Brewers edged the Cubs 4-3, and the Angels beat the Red Sox 6-1. Sabalenka's result came in a match decided by two tie breaks, a measure of how little separated the players in the first and third sets. The scoreline sent the top seed through while keeping the tournament's later rounds in focus. Finally, in entertainment, a closely guarded documentary about Elizabeth Holmes has emerged from the Telluride Film Festival. The film is called You Can See Everything. It was directed by Nathan Fielder and Lance Oppenheim and will be released by A24. The documentary began with Holmes allowing the filmmakers to follow her during the 34 days before she reported to prison. Holmes founded Theranos, the blood testing company that collapsed after its technology and business claims came under scrutiny. she was convicted of defrauding investors and is serving a prison sentence. A24 lists the film as coming soon. Reports from Telluride describe it as a nearly three-hour work made over several years, rather than a conventional one-subject profile. The project is attracting attention partly because of the unusual pairing. Fielder is known for uncomfortable, highly constructed comedy, while Oppenheim has made acclaimed nonfiction films. Whatever viewers make of its form, the subject remains one of Silicon Valley's most consequential cautionary tales. The timing and access are central to the film's interest. Following Holmes before she reported to prison gives the documentary a defined period rather than a retrospective account assembled only from archival material and interviews. Its eventual reception will depend on the finished film, which A24 says is still coming soon. That is the briefing for this Wednesday morning. A deadly Miami crash under investigation. Newly public 9/11's records, legal and cultural transitions at home, a dangerous escalation with Iran, and markets confronting higher energy costs. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening and take care.